make sure it's clear. This is the administrative portion of the meeting. I called it to order. We have one item on the consent calendar, and I move passage.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. No discussion matters this morning. One scheduling on here and one or two that I'd like to add.
I have a couple, too. They might be the same. So.
Okay. So the May 10th meeting is kind of out there. Our attorneys will both be at a NARUC-sponsored legal seminar that looked, particularly useful to a small agency like ours. So they're going to be gone from Monday through Thursday of that week. And so I don't object to continuing on with the meeting, but we're all going to have to keep in mind that anything that needs a legal look over is going to have to be done by Friday already and not add anything, or if we have legal questions, maybe it will involve removing something from the agenda or something like that. But since I had approved that travel and sign up, I just wanted to bring that up to see if we wanted to look at changing that meeting day or just leave it with the knowledge that we're going to have that situation.
I think we should leave it, and Jack and Alana should be proactive in reminding people that they will be gone and trying to push those agenda items through the legal side of things before they take off.
Okay. And just to be clear, that's not, sometimes we have a situation where we have a 3-week gap, and that is not the case there. So there is a meeting 2 weeks ahead of that and 2 weeks later. So I agree. We'll just leave it as scheduled. No, I didn't bring the case number. But in order to keep things moving along, I would like to look at Monday having another work session on the wind decommissioning rule package.
Kim, that's on my agenda, too.
If I could, Monday might be tough. I guess I could get it together by then, but we're going to...
Oh, yeah, we're leaving on Monday.
We're leaving for New Orleans Monday.
I understand that, and that's why I think we can't leave a whole week. We need to get what we have done ready and discuss it to make sure everybody's on the kind of on the right track. Just I know it won't be the final work session we have on this, but I do think in order to keep things moving along, we need to have a work session on it and see where we're at.
Okay, well, I'm out in the morning, and we have a 3:30 flight.
So how about 1 o'clock, and we'll make sure it's wrapped up by 2, or?
Weren't we going to do something with Brian that day at 1?
Well, we'll have to do that in the morning.
Okay.
Potluck was at lunch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, 12 o'clock is lunch, but we were going to do a training, PUD discussion. Okay. So, well, actually, the PUD has an open case review at 11 anyway that week. That day, so maybe we can use that time.
I would be gone.
Well, you'll have to catch up then with Brian separately. He'll want to come back and talk to individuals.
You need to be in on a work session on the wind.
You'll be gone that afternoon.
No, but I mean, if we do it at 11.
No, I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
We can do. I'm sorry.
The commissioner orientation thing we're talking about now doing in the morning. Then,
yeah.
And so the afternoon.
So maybe at 8. Maybe at 10:30 we could start that and go 10:30 to noon, and we can talk to Pat about incorporating that his PUD weekly meeting or every other week where they go through and talk about cases that are going to be on the next agenda, which is a good exercise anyway.
Yeah.
And then move into commissioner training.
When I had talked to Patrick about the orientation part of it, we had kind of concluded that probably 2 hours would be a good time frame. But then part of that was to get into a little bit about SPP and MISO, and that would probably be a part we'd want to do with Jerry.
Yeah.
So that with that out of the equation, maybe an hour and a half is enough.
Yeah. I think that's good.
So you want to start at 10:30, or do you want to leave a little gap in there before lunch starts? Or I don't know how pressed your schedule is. Either one is fine with me.
Well, I have a rail safety monthly update that morning, too, but which I can push to 8:30 and try to keep it to half an hour. So
you pick the time.
Yeah, why don't we try it at 9? And I think we've been meeting pretty regularly with the rail guys, so I think we can be done in a half an hour.
No, I thought we were talking about questioning whether it was going to be 10 or 10:30.
10 to noon. I'm sorry. 10.
So I don't think we have
to
it real hard. It's 10
open? 10. 10. That's good. 10 to 11:30, and then we have a little time to get ready for lunch. Okay.
So
we'll be getting hungry by then with all the food slugged in.
10 o'clock will be the
yes.
orientation on public utilities.
Yep. 10 to 11:30.
And at 1 will be the work session on the wind decommission. I don't know, Jerry, if you know that number, or if not.
17-23.
17-23. Okay. Those are the only two additional ones I had.
Well, the other one I had is just the Highland Crude, the one that we just did the notice of opportunity for hearing. And we can wait and schedule it at the next meeting, but we should schedule, I think, an informal on that so that we can, you know, keep that rolling and get that thing done. So I'll talk to Pat about getting some dates from them, and we can schedule at the next meeting.
Okay, so you don't want to do it today?
Yeah, we aren't prepared because I think the company has to give us some dates. So
okay.
I could add to admin if it's not too late.
Oh, it's not too late.
Well, let's stick to scheduling here for now. Did you have any others?
Nope, that was it, the Highland one and the wind farm thing.
Okay, you had something for discussion?
Yeah, a question. Do you guys want a work session on, remember the Meadowlark? There was an informal hearing.
Oh, right.
We had a certificate of continuing suitability.
Yep.
So we have a draft order now from the applicants. And so if we wanted to go through that in a work session, we could be ready to go.
I think we should.
We'd probably have to because Brian is going to be voting on that because it'll be, you know, an upcoming agenda item. And
we've never done this before, so.
Yeah, yeah. I have questions even on how the process of just approving this or, you know, the time. It's kind of different than anything we've done before. So I think we should do one.
That's what I was thinking. So if you want to schedule something, we could do it now or?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, we could always alter it if it doesn't end up working, but in
after
Brian's schedule.
After we come back from New Orleans?
Yeah, because that next week is kind of shot. And then Monday the 27th, we're... Oh, no. Yikes. What the heck am I doing? I plan to shoot in that Capitalist Classic shoot-off, and we're gone.
Is that the 27th?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Shoot.
Sounds like you need a substitute.
I love that event.
That last week of March, I don't see that happening.
You don't?
No.
You know, we could.
But the first week of April, I have a lot of opportunities.
You gone on the 30th?
Yes. I'll be here briefly. I'm going to be coming from Minot and heading east, but I'm in the meantime going
to
do the safe digging photo. Hey, that's just about the time I'm passing through. So yes, I'll be here for that, but I need to leave after.
You're coming from Minot for that photo and then going to Grand Forks?
No, to southeast North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Am I missing something in Grand Forks?
No, never mind. I was looking at the Central Power thing. Yeah,
that's what I'm doing in Minot.
Oh, Grand Hotel. I saw Grand Forks Central Power. Okay. Is that in the morning?
It's the afternoon and evening of the 29th and then the 30th in the morning.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But that week from the 3rd to the 7th, other than doing a lot of additional cramming for the MDU hearing, I have
and the 31st, you're tied up too?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so, well, the third in the afternoon, we have the Rail Service Annual Meeting, which I don't know if you and Brian plan to take part of it, but you have in the past.
Yeah, I'm planning to.
Tuesday morning?
I'm out Tuesday morning.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Jerry. Wednesday? I'm open all day Wednesday.
Let's do it Wednesday the 5th, then.
Okay.
April 5th.
What was... Jerry, just tell me again the name of that.
Meadowlark.
Meadowlark.
It was cited back in
2013?
I think.
Meadowlark Wind Farm.
You know, let me get that for you. I think it was an 11.
That's the one in McHenry County.
Yeah.
So I think we're clear enough on the discussion here, we're talking about.
Yeah, it was older than that then, because we didn't do that one.
And so what time would you like to have that?
1:30?
Sure.
Now, this is a work session?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other last-minute additions?
I have some news, though.
I do, too. You picked a really nice color for your shirt, and Daryl didn't follow the dress code for today, but thanks, Jerry, for being on board. Okay, go ahead.
So I'll send you an email here that they're sending me, but Elite Clean Energy, we cited a wind farm for them some years back here, Morton and Oliver County area, and so Xcel is doing a PPA with them. And so that's going forward. Haven't built it yet.
Sunflower or one of those?
No, just Elite Clean Energy.
Oh.
It was Elite spun off a subsidiary and called it Elite Clean Energy. And then they got a permit for this project, and they've been marketing it.
When did we cite it? Do you remember? This one doesn't ring a bell to me.
No.
Must have been before us.
I'll get you in the email I send around, I'll get you when the certificate was issued and case number. But
how many megawatts is it?
Like 100.
Wow.
Jeez.
And they'll ask for some, amendment to the certificate because it says up to 100. And they need to go 106. And...
Because of turbines or something.
Yeah, they got different turbines, and with the contract, they need to deliver 100. And so they got losses and stuff like that. They need to go a little over that to have 100 at the interconnection point.
So since you brought that up, and we're in a general meeting, so we can discuss other things that come to mind, where is the stopgap for wind development in terms of need? Is that need? Yeah. So because MISO, it seems like, you know, there's just wind coming up everywhere in all these states because they can capture the PTC more than is probably needed.
There isn't really a stopgap. They have been concerned in the past about how much they can operate with.
Right.
And they never came up with an exact number. And while the wind keeps growing, I think that they've been able to change their operating parameters to accommodate it. They've also, now it's dispatchable. So they can tell them to shut down as they need to.
Right.
And so that's helped. But I don't think we have a hard number.
So as long as the utilities are willing to enter power purchase agreements, and they're evaluating how much they need, there's some consideration. There isn't just going to be all kinds of these systems all over the entire midsection of the country that are maybe only used a marginal amount.
Well, I don't know if you could think they would only be used a marginal amount. I see a time in the future when Wendell be have a more prominent role?
Well, but if there's more on the system now, like you hear about, they're starting to incorporate into PPAs curtailments, recognizing that, you know, we don't need all of this, so we're going to have to curtail you some of the time.
I'd call it dispatching. But usually in the middle of the night, you have your coal plants running and you can't turn them off. And if the wind is up and you got too much stuff, they would shut the winds down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually what the dispatching means. They've been able to forecast wind a little bit better too now, to where they can like tell you how windy it's going to be tomorrow, and they get some kind of an idea in their day-ahead markets how much wind will flow.
Well, the whole need issue just doesn't seem to be, I don't think we've hit on it. I don't think we're asking the right questions about that.
I don't think we have either, and I think here's how I view it, as sort of a circular situation where regulators are relying on the utilities to make that call. And frankly, if you're a utility company and you have the option to transition from a system where you have to pay for your generation and put it on your bills, as opposed to having Uncle Sam provide that generation and you get it for next to nothing. And you have, if there ever is a crash, and I think there will be at some point, you know, you always have the regulators to blame. I think it's very logical that the utilities are going to be unable to turn that down. And so they're able to keep their costs down by taking this nearly free service from the government. And I think until regulators figure out a way to calculate what the line is on when too much is too much, we're just heading down a path to danger.
You might be asking what's the right generation mix rather than what's the need, because the need is how much capacity, generating capacity you need, and then what kind of a mix of resources you have to get that generating capacity is probably more your question.
Well, how much, and how many wind farms do we need to fit that? I mean, it seems to me that there's just an endless...
Well, how much of your resources could be wind? If you think it's too much, that means you need more gas. They're not getting any...
Well, but see, it's moved beyond the utility. It's not just the utilities that can make that decision. It's the RTOs.
Yeah.
They're the ones that need to, because they're the only entity looking at the region as a whole. And
they aren't making a determination on what kind of generation, though.
I know, and that's where we aren't asking the right questions. So though, that's why I do, I mean, it's all so new, and we're not asking the right questions at the RTO level yet. We just aren't.
NERC is, I think, really the ones that need to be
looking at
providing that guidance.
Yeah, but NERC, I think if you only look at it like on a reliability standpoint, then they push that down to the utilities that have to make sure that they're reliable, and then it's this way. But who's looking at, you know, down here in Iowa, we've got all this wind generation that's different from the stuff up in North Dakota, so almost 100% of the time there's some wind on the system to cover, almost always.
Right.
And so there's all these new projects coming all over the place, Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wyoming.
And
there's going to be way more than we need. Way more.
So there's a capacity requirement, and then there's a decision that the RTO makes on how much of the wind will go towards that capacity requirement. And they've been running, you know, different amounts, and they've got procedures in place to where they watch your production for a few years, and then they set how much capacity credit you get. But generally, they've been running 10-15% of the nameplate capacity. And that's on your philosophy that it's always blowing somewhere. And
right.
So there's always some, there is a capacity contribution to the system. And so if you need a, you know, like if you got 500 megawatt load, like say the MDU's roughly got, if they got their Thunder Spirit project down there at 106 megawatts and they get 15%, then 15 megawatts of that 500 megawatt requirement that they have, and actually it's more than 500 megawatts because there's a reserve requirement over the top of that.
You know, what we should probably consider doing, in fairness to Brian, is we should probably have this discussion with him, because I'm learning, I think you're learning, good opportunity, and this is just a good part of that.
Right.
That commissioner orientation that we want to do, and rather than us having to have the same conversation right. twice.
And maybe we bring Darcy in.
What do you think about bringing MISO in?
No.
I think we need an initial run through with this with our staff and him.
Okay. I mean, MISO would be good for an orientation for the new commissioner on who MISO is.
Yes, yeah, we'll have
and
to do that.
But what do you guys think? How are you guys deciding how much wind is too much wind is a question to bring up.
Well, and I'll be asking, I mean, that market conversation tomorrow, I'll be talking to MISO about that. Because, yeah, my sense is that it comes down to the interconnection agreement and their process for agreeing to those, but they don't ever turn them down. They allow anybody to connect. It has nothing to do with need.
No, that's right. It has to do with will the system take it.
Right.
And so that's the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. That's a good plan. We'll schedule something with Brian on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
As good of an opportunity for him as this is for us. So. Okay, we're adjourned.
Thank you.